This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, this is another episode here on the Mindful Experiment. I'm your host, Dr. Vic, and excited to have you guys on. Thank you so much for being here, listening to the episode, subscribing if you haven't done so. Subscribe to the podcast. Do me a huge favor. Share a review. The way podcasts get exposed in today's world is through reviews. And so if you enjoy this episode, if you've been listening to the podcast, take 1 minute wherever you're listening at and share a review on the podcast. It helps us to get our message out there and help continue to serve our vision and our purpose, as we are ranked in the top 1% globally, and we continue to do so for the last 3-4 years. And we want to continue that and excel to even higher levels to help expand the consciousness and awareness of humanity. So I want to thank you for listening, subscribing, and make sure to share a review. All right, my guest today, Dr. Buck. We had awesome conversation. This is our second longevity conversation. It's the first for season 6, but near season 5, we had a couple. You're going to hear me bring a little bit some longevity, a little bit more. I'm trying to share different perspectives of longevity so people can understand the realm, because we do have another one coming out in about 6 weeks. And it's a former guest I had on before. And the reason why, you know, longevity is just huge. It is the hottest thing right now in health. And there's so much research happening. And when it comes to research, you know, things, medical information is turning 16 times growth every year. So it's crazy how fast things are, we're learning and growing and expanding. And so Dr. Buck and I, he shared a different view and some things that I didn't hear about before, which I love that for me, just as how I like to learn. And so he shared a ton of good research. He shared a ton of things that are going on that are in the medical realm and looking at things differently than what I've been looking at from a longevity standpoint. And he'll share that wisdom. He'll share how to do this, how we're getting to escape velocity and aging in the next 10 to 20 years. He even shares in the podcast we talked about, he says, just stay healthy for the next 20 years. That's it. That's the advice. I mean, but this is going to help. Now, why is this important? Because we all want to live a longer life. We all want to expand our lives and showed up being the best version of ourselves. And I understand this tremendously because as a chiropractor, a holistic chiropractor, someone who practices the principles of chiropractic from 1900, it's the thing of how do we maximize an individual's health to the fullest or their own expression of life to the fullest. And so they can live their best years and so forth. And so being able to say, hey, stay alive, stay vibrant, stay healthy for 20 years is awesome. And so he'll share some stuff of what he's been researching, what he's been recommending, how to stay healthy, and his what he's been researching, what he's been looking at, what he recommends, and to help you level up in your life and so much more. So I really enjoyed this episode, and I know you will too. So without any further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Buck Joffrey. Buck, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. This is your expertise and all that you do. I'm really curious to see where this conversation goes.
And, yeah.
It's a big interest for me. I have talked about it a little bit on this podcast before, so I'm looking forward to this.
Great.
Before we dive in, for the listeners and everyone who's tuning in today, what's your story? How did you get into what you're doing today?
Yeah, you know, I started out as a medical doctor with surgical training, you know, everywhere, everything from like neurosurgery. I did head and neck surgery, and I even ended up doing some cosmetics. I realized I was an entrepreneur more than a physician, so I only practiced for a few years. And the next thing you know, I was off to the races and started some businesses and actually got into the financial services space where I actually have done pretty well. And that's been a great ride even for the last 7 or 8 years. But what the biggest thing for me is like, you know, I've never lost touch with the science and the biochemistry and all the things that I loved before. And, you know, I got divorced about 4 or 5 years ago. And I realized that I was just, you know, fat and out of shape and in my mid 40s. And I looked in the mirror and I'm like, what the heck just happened to me? That's when I really went on this journey of health and fitness, and I really dug into the literature. And the thing I realized was in the biochemistry, molecular biology literature, which is my background, there was these huge advancements I didn't really even know were happening in the space of longevity science. And that got me super thrilled because as somebody who was starting over, the idea of really being able to start over and not feel like the time was ticking was fabulous. And so that's where I went down this road. And before you know it, I started my own longevity type podcast. And again, you know, for me, it's just sharing what I know, my journey. You know, I've already kind of done what I need to do in my life for money and all that kind of stuff. And really, it's just exciting stuff that I want to share and continue to work on myself.
I love that, man. Longevity is a very fascinating world. I've been dabbing into it a little bit the last few years, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, this is really cool where things are heading.
Yes, it is.
What was one of the first things what was your first thing that you dived into when it came to longevity?
Yeah, you know, I discovered David Sinclair's work and specifically the idea of the theory of, you know, loss of information or the information theory on aging. And what I found fascinating about that is, you know, and the aha moment is sort of, well, we never think about aging as a disease. And the reason for that is that anything that more than 50% of the population gets, it just doesn't count as a disease. And everybody ages, pretty much everybody ages if you're lucky. And so that's what was happening. But the paradigm shifted, I think. The paradigm has shifted, I think. We're starting to see that what happens in the aging process has a specific pathophysiology behind it. And like anything in medicine, if we know how it works, then we can start attacking the problem itself. You know, and we know what causes cardiovascular disease. So we can target cardiovascular disease specifically. And so with the same type of thinking, we can target aging now. And we've just begun, you know, we've really just started that journey. And that was sort of the aha moment.
What is something that, I know there's a lot of variables to this, but what is some of the things that have us age? Like, what's one of, like, if you could share one or two core things that you've seen in your research or in the research studies, like, what, here's one or two big things that causes the aging process.
I'll explain the information theory in as simple language as I can. So everybody has, you know, genes, right? We have DNA. Everybody's heard of that. And basically, you can think of that as sort of a code, like an alphabet that's spelling out words. And those words individually have meaning, and that meaning is the expression of the genes, right? And so between those words, though, there is additional code. You know, if we think about that as an alphabet, maybe you have a word and then another word, and then there's a space between that, right? The way that space between the words has been viewed in the past when it comes to DNA is that it's not very particularly useful, that it doesn't have any purpose. It's just kind of garbage language, right? Garbage code. But I think what the big moment for the current theory that Sinclair has is that space between the words, the space between the genes, which is called the epigenome. You may have heard that term, the epigenetics. That actually has tremendous importance, because what that space does, what that code does, is it tells someone how to read the actual words themselves. And so if that gets disrupted, then the words themselves get disrupted over time and don't get read with the proper enunciation. Hopefully that gives you a decent sort of analogy of what I'm talking about. But that is effectively aging. That code in between, the epigenetics, as we age, starts to develop various biochemical changes on them. For example, where you may have heard the term DNA methylations, things like that. They accumulate sort of this junk and makes it so the rest of the code does not get expressed with such clarity. And when that happens, that is aging. And so again, that is, that's sort of the big idea here. And there's plenty of scientific evidence now that if you can reverse those changes between those words, you know, the epigenome, the changes, the chemical changes on the epigenome, that you can actually reverse, aging. And it's being done in laboratory animals now. It's not a theoretical thing anymore. We've not done it in humans. But it's been done in animals. So this is not, you know, pie in the sky, dreamy thinking at all.
I love it. No, it is fascinating. Epigenetics, I've been around for a long time. Well, I've been studying it for quite some time. And it is a very fascinating field to really, of how, what plays a role on that. Because I'm assuming then with just from my understanding of epigenetics too, it's like the environment plays a huge role on that.
Oh, yeah.
And what an individual's in. People may be listening like, wait a minute, there's mite rat, you're doing it in lab. Now we can, you know, stop the aging process. Let's hear more about that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the methods that are being utilized as of now in lab?
Yeah. Well, in the lab, so what we know is, there was a big series of experiments, where there's a Japanese scientist, with the last name Yamanaka, back about 10, 15 years ago, showed that there's various genes that are within us called Yamanaka. We call them Yamanaka factors now. And what those genes can do is they can effectively reverse the age of a cell. I don't want to go into too much detail on that, but that gets a little bit deep into the science, but. Net, basically what the idea is that these Yamanaka factors, if they are turned on, can potentially reverse the age of cells. And part of that age reversal ends up becoming this cleaning up of the epigenome. That is sort of the basis of right now in terms of some of the therapies that are going on. Sinclair has shown, again, in animals that in animals that you can actually reverse epigenetic age like that. And actually in human cells, you can do it as well. Now, what's interesting is the way this has been done in various labs has been by genetic manipulation, right? By going on and turning on expression of those genes by, you know, delivering various genes to the target. But what Sinclair has been showing in the lab recently is that you can actually turn those, it seems that you can turn those genes on with some various drug cocktails as well. And that's where it gets really exciting, right? Then it becomes like, well, this isn't just like you have to, you know, change, you have to like inject genes into your body, which sounds like kind of, you know, kind of excessive. But there may be some drugs that we already have that we use for other purposes that can trigger these genes from upregulating. So in cells, he's shown in the Petri dish in human cells, he's shown that you can reverse genetic epigenetic age, and then in actual animals as well. So
that's pretty cool. And when it comes to, you know, because there's so much out, I mean, there's so much out there when we look at longevity and what, you know, the stuff that's coming up. I mean, I look at things. I don't get too much into the medicine side, but the holistic side I will, just because that's where my field's at. Sure. But I do dabble into that side here and there. There is so much coming up. I'm just curious, with all the research and what you've been studying, what are some of the things on the medical side? You know, because when I looked at longevity years ago, I heard about like quantum beds and all these other cool stuff that supposedly exists already, but it just hasn't, whatever, you know, here or say there or there. But how that can literally stop the clock and turn it backwards.
Yeah.
What are some, if there are out there, if you can share some of the stuff that's kind of already been in trials or studies or just, you know, that are kind of showing that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like supplements or drugs that directly target these aging pathways, I think the one that probably has the most research behind it, animal models, is rapamycin. Of course, that's not a supplement. That actually is a drug that was used in organ transplant, and that's how it was really how I became familiar with it as a surgical resident rotating on transplant floors. But at low doses and pulsatile doses, that has been a big, you know, very commonly used drug in the longevity community. The other major ones that you may have known as the things that increase the level of NAD, which is one of the big energy storage molecules in the body. So you may have NMN or NR. These are precursors to NAD. And it's thought, and I know Sinclair is a big advocate for this, that you can upregulate the amount of NAD in the body with this, and that triggers some pathways called the sirtuin pathways, which are part of these pathways, which I kind of alluded to earlier, that are part of that mechanism of aging.
Love it. Yeah, I was curious because I mean I've heard about the NAD being utilized and the work of what that can do. How about, have you ever heard about anything with like exosomes and what they've been doing with those and how?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that space is an interesting space. It's interesting because what the idea there really is to try to deliver. I don't know exosomes that well, but here's what my understanding is. So, you know, a lot of people are doing these stem cells, for example, in Panama and that sort of thing. And they're apparently getting great, at least objectively great results. People feel great. You know, there are a lot of injuries are being healed and things like that. But, you know, if you talk to the guys even who are doing this, who are really the experts, it's not the stem cells themselves. It is the growth factors that seem to be around the stem cells that seem to decrease inflammation, to help healing and all that stuff. And that is essentially my understanding is where the exosomes play. That to me is a little bit different. It's a step off from what we're talking about. Because there's one is the actual targeting of the aging process, right? And that's where rapamycin NMN, I think.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some people talk about taurine, metformin. Some of these other things come into play. There's the other part of this is really about health span and about actually decreasing our increasing our health now and optimizing our health now, which obviously plays into living a longer life as well. But it's not necessarily attacking the the exact direct pathway of longevity that we've been talking about. It's equally important because, you know, I think what you're getting at is some of these things like inflammation, right? Inflammation in the body is a massive, massive problem. And we call it inflammaging, right? Because there's all these things that happen in the body with inflammation that, you know, can lead to increased risk of cardiovascular disease and cancer and all, and the things that kill us and ultimately decrease our longevity. So that's where things like exosomes or frankly, you know, a lot of basic diet, exercise, sleep, ideas come through and really play into the whole longevity thing.
I love it. Yeah. So it looks like if I understand correctly, it's just looking at the perception or the focus of things, right? What you're talking about originally was like the aging process. What is that focusing there?
Yeah.
And these things help in a different realm with that. Cause there's so many, like I said, there's so many things out there when it comes to longevity. That's why when I was at Heavy, I'm like, I'm curious to see where this piece of the puzzle is going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's a different one than I've heard before. So that's why I appreciate it so much. And that's why I have so much, you know, questions on like, okay, what's the drugs that are out there? What is this that's happening now? What's this? Because I've had a couple other longevity experts on, and you said the same thing. They said the same thing where it's like, we're about a decade or two out from turning that clock around.
Yeah.
And it's just like, cool. And my mind goes, okay, how are we doing that? Like because they had their own things are a little different. I've done my own stuff. I've had other people where we talked about things like electron free radicals and using nanotechnology and things in the eek industry and how, what it can do. And I'm just like, okay, this is different. This is cool. Yeah. I like different. I like out there stuff. I think it's all pieces of the puzzle. But when we look directly at then, is the focus strictly when it comes to the aging then in your studies and so forth, is it really looking just at the drug side itself and just seeing what we can do to do that? Or are there other things too on top of it?
Well, you know, here's the thing is that, like, I think my overriding theme is that time is coming. Just like you mentioned, other people have said, I'm in the same, I have the same mindset. I believe that if you could stay healthy the next 10, 20 years, I think that we're going to have amazing technology that is, that we can't even imagine what that looks like right now. However, in order to get to that time, we have to really optimize our health now. And that's really, I think, with my clinic, you know, with my medical background, that's really kind of what I'm focused on. I keep up with all of the biochemistry, molecular biology, but at the end of the day, what we have a lot of low hanging fruit that we can deal with now, with diet, with exercise and sleep, and you know, supplements as well. But there are simple things to do that if people can start adapting these types of changes in their life now, they're very likely, even if that scientific time doesn't come, that, okay, the worst case scenario is you just added a decade of quality of life. That's not so bad either, you know.
Yeah, you can't beat that, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, when it comes to looking at the aging process, though, do factors of disease play a role? Like if you decrease the aging, or is that – like how does that all play a role?
Yeah. So ultimately, you know, I think – I guess let me try to understand your question specifically. Maybe you can – rephrase that.
Yeah, I could rephrase it. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So when we look at like, you know, aging, you know, as the older we get, the theme is like, oh, the older you get, you have all these issues, or it could be arthritis, it could be, or it could be heart disease, cardiovascular, cancer, you name that condition. When we look at aging, is aging a product of that in some way, shape, or form? And if it is, when we look at the anti-aging aspect of things, will that help in that way, or is that something different?
Well, I think the idea is that when we come to this, you know, sort of golden age or whatever, that these diseases of aging that we have right now will become less likely to happen. They will happen with a lot less frequency because we are addressing the underlying problem. But in the meantime, we're not there. And so what we need to do is we need to address those low hanging fruit now. You know, I talk about as a medical doctor, I can tell you right now, if you take the number one killer in the United States is cardiovascular disease, it shouldn't even be in the top 10. And we have so many tools to prevent cardiovascular. We know enough about it. And even if it progresses to a point where it does become a little bit worse, if we know about it, we can treat it early. So in some regards, I would say that the number one killer in the world right now in the U.S. with all we have and all the knowledge we have and the scientific and the medical abilities that we have, you shouldn't die of cardiovascular disease. If you don't have it today, you shouldn't die of it. And yet the reality is that people will continue to do so. And it's because we're not taking advantage of what's already out there. And that's really kind of where, you know, that's what I believe is, you know, you look at, you know, again, I'm looking at this very much on a data-driven, you know, approach, but the things that cause cardiovascular disease generally is either hyperlipidemia and or inflammation, right? If you can really attack those two things, then you're not going to very likely have cardiovascular disease. It's as simple as that. So looking at some of these things logically and just thwarting them and avoiding them as much as you can and buying, you know, healthy time between now and that, you know, that golden period, that golden era is really what I think we can do. I really do.
I love it. And the reason I was asking that question is because we were talking about turning back the clock on the cell. Mm-hmm. And then in my head, I was like, cells bind to, you know, create tissues, go to organs. And I was like, I wonder if that would turn back that. And if there's something related to an age related or just XYZ, would that also help?
Well, I think you're getting at, it is important though, because what my point is that I think that, you know, you have to maintain what you got, because we don't, you know, there's no reason to think that if we have damaged ourselves excessively by the time this period in time comes, that there's going to be anything to do for us, right? My belief is that you're going to have to come into that period of time pretty healthy, you know, and that's what I'm really focused on.
No, I love it. I agree with you with that, because, I mean, you can't just go, oh, this is going to be a miracle thing and everything's going to take care of it and I'm going to be golden. Right. It's like, you got to have some good, you know, about foundational principles when it comes to your health in order to let that do its work and work its magic in some way, shape, or form. No, I love this. I could talk to you all day on this topic. Sure. I mean, there's so many more questions I could have.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is – so you're looking at – we're 10 to 20 years out. Uh-huh. What is the big thing that you're sharing right now when it comes to longevity and that kind of stuff? Because you have your own business and stuff with that. What is the core principle that you utilize to help with longevity in that realm?
Yeah, so I mean, I think some of it is you know, going back to some basics of let's just talk about diet and exercise, right? Diet, you know, I think if you focus on what's probably the, you know, what's a few things that you can do to make sure that you're doing it right You know, I don't think that there's necessarily a magic diet per se. That's not what I'm advocating for. But what we do know is that, you know, in terms of health, probably the most important things are really strict glycemic control. So blood sugar, keeping your blood sugar really controlled well. We have a lot of tools to do that. We have a lot of, you know, continuous glucose monitoring. We can, you know, if people do have problems with blood sugar, they can be on medications like metformin. You can figure out little cheat methods like apple cider vinegar before a meal, you know, that kind of thing. So blood sugar is probably the single biggest enemy of longevity, spiking of blood sugar that there is. So targeting that is like a number one, in my opinion. Making sure you get enough protein, right? And people who are obviously lifting and exercising a lot to build muscle know about that. But the problem is that muscle mass is extraordinarily important, not just, you know, for bodybuilders, but for everyone, because it's so heavily involved with glucose metabolism. And the avoidance of metabolic syndromes and things like that. So there's that. You know, I'm a big believer in time restricted feeding as well. I think if you look across the animal models, and there's a very consistent showing that some level of caloric restriction triggers these longevity genes to turn on, and so. You know, we weren't meant to be eating 16 hours of the day, right? And so there's this concept called hormesis. And hormesis is what doesn't kill you ultimately will make you stronger. I mean, we don't need to go into that extremes here. But if you have some period of time of the day, like say you're not taking in calories 16 hours of the day, that actually, you know, tells your body, hey, there might be a little bit of stress here. Let's turn on those longevity genes to fight back, right? So there's diet, there's exercise. And when specifically, you know, you look like you work out, Vic, but, yeah, but you know, most people don't, the whole idea of exercise, doctors just tell you to go home and eat well and exercise. But what does that even mean? There is longevity-based exercise. We know that you need a certain, you know, high level of what's called level 2 cardiovascular exercise, which is, you know, basically 60 to 70% of your heart rate. We know that, you know, lifting, you know, weight resistance, resistance training is incredibly important for, again, what we talked about with mass, muscle mass, glucose control. And also, as we get older, we lose huge amounts of muscle mass. Right. And a lot of people end up dying ultimately, particularly women, of, you know, hip fractures and sarcopenia. Sleep is another one. Yeah. You know, people don't think about a lot about sleep, but sleep underlies poor sleep increases the risk of virtually every major killer out there. And we might even think we're having good sleep and not having good sleep. And so, I mean, I'm a big advocate for things like the Oura Ring or whatever other ways of looking at your sleep. There's two major types of sleep that I think people need to keep an eye on. One is deep non-REM sleep, and then there's REM sleep. Deep non-REM sleep is when the brain contracts in the middle of the night and kind of lets like things wash away toxins. If you don't get enough of that, you're going to increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease. You know, so again, there's so many low hanging fruit there. There's so many ways we can intervene and not be passive in this whole, you know, longevity experience. That's what I'm excited about just telling people about. So.
No, I love it. You share a lot of stuff that I practice and utilize, and it's just how much can we activate those longevity genes and keep it rocking and rolling in that way. Right. And for the listeners, you do those kind of things, it'll help in long term. But even with I love the continuous glucose monitoring stuff, because it was funny. In my world, in the health world that I'm in, that like a lot of people are, you know, oh, you know, eat, you know, paleo, keto, carnivore, yeah. like those are the big things. Minimize carbs all day long, yada, yada, yada. But I'm a different advocate. I'm all about just find what works for you and you do what exactly. works for you and test it. And no, don't just guess it, right? So one time I was like, I put one on for a month and I was like, I'm going to go 2 weeks keto and then I'm going to go 2 weeks. I'm Italian. I'm from, my whole entire family's from Italy. Mm-hmm. And so pasta. I was like, I'm going to go more sourdough, eating more carbs, like good carbs though, yes. really good quality carbs. And I said, I want to see what happens to my and add fruit. And I want to see what happens to my sugar levels. Now, you're a medical doctor. You would say, if you have more sugar, your sugar levels should go up and you know, and so forth. What I found fascinating was during the keto 2 weeks, my sugar levels were like at 100, 110, which is not, you know, from the medical world, it's not bad. Yeah. But from my world, it is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, I don't like that. So I added more fruit and I started eating more carbs. And all of a sudden, I'm like at 86, yeah. 84. And I'm just yeah. like, my sugar will go up. It'll come down really strong. And I was like, interesting. That's what works for me, I guess. And so since then, it's.
And I'm 100% on board with that, right? Like, I think the problem with just following these glycemic indices and food and having blind faith is that you're exactly right. We are, we all have sort of not only, you know, different types of faces and hair colors and eyes, but we also have different, we have different metabolisms. So what happens to one person is very different than another. You know, similarly to you, what I noticed is when I was using glucose monitor, like if I eat dinner, you know, if I have protein first, part of, and this is true, I think for everybody, it's also about positioning of food. You don't start with the bread, right? You don't start with it. You start with the protein or the salad. The last thing you want to do is start attacking the bread that they bring out, you know, when you go out is the first thing, because that's where you're going to get a spike. Now, but if you eat that bread later on in the meal or even dessert, what I found is like no spike, zero spike, right? And so what we're trying to avoid is those spikes, right? So we can either go off of just these numbers and the glycemic indices or start experimenting on ourselves. And that's what I'm advocating for, right? Like it's really... we have lived in a world of medicine where it's always been about, you know, doctors, just telling us what, you know, what we're supposed to do when we listen. And that's, you know, doctors, that's the way we're taught to do it. But we have so much technology, people need to be empowered into their own health and try to learn about their own bodies. I mean, how many people know about their own cars, right? How many guys know about their own cars and you know, go in their fix-it guys, but you can't do anything for your own body, right? So it seems to me that's kind of a no-brainer now that it's available.
I love it. Doc, how can people find you, follow you, and all the work that you're doing?
Yeah, so a couple ways. I mean, I've got the podcast. It's Sapio, S-A-P-I-O with Buck Joffrey. sapiopodcast.com. And there is a download there for just a quick book, because I know a lot of people don't have time. It's called Living Long for Busy People. So it's got a lot of these very basic concepts of, you know, diet, exercise, and sleep. If it's worthwhile to people, certainly download that. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I appreciate it, Doc. Thanks for taking the time to come on and share all that you're up to, your research, what you're doing, and all that. It's a kind of cool frontier where we're heading into with the longevity stuff. So it's I appreciate sharing your the research you've been doing and all the stuff you've been following. And we'll see where it goes the next 10 to 20 years from now.
Yeah, thanks, Vic.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.